I'm going to have you turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5 as we're continuing in our study on the Beatitudes. And first, we're going to dismiss the children. Children, if you are here from kindergarten to fifth grade, you can head back to the back. The rest of us, we're heading to Matthew chapter 5. It's going to be page 683 if you're using one of the church Bibles. We have been working through the Beatitudes over the course of the last 8 weeks. This is our ninth week in this series, and then we have one more week that we'll wrap it up. But I'm just going to remind us of where we've been. We've taken 1 week and focused on a Beatitude each week. So I'm just going to remind us where we've been, starting at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Those first ones there are really internal Beatitudes. And then the next ones are external ones. They're actions, in a sense, that we take as believers. Starting at verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's the one we're focusing in on this morning. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What this verse really tells me is that we need to have, as believers, we need to have an attitude of endurance. We need to be in it for the long run, this relationship with God. I've lived long enough in this world to know that whatever you do, there will be people that criticize you. Even if you do nothing at all, you'll be criticized for doing nothing at all. I don't know about you, but I would much rather be criticized for doing the right thing than for doing the wrong thing. I would rather be persecuted. I'd rather be persecuted for doing the right thing than for doing the wrong thing. I would rather be called a fool for following my God than to be called a wise man for following the ways of this world. Now, we have all, I'm sure, had opportunities in our lives to see people that are following Jesus and see them be persecuted as a result of that relationship, of that following of Christ. Some of you would know the story that I'm just going to share real briefly right now. Back in 1994, my dad was a pastor and had been pastoring for about 30 years at that time. And at that time, he was pastoring, he was an associate pastor at a large Christian Missionary Alliance church, and an accusation came against him, a false accusation came against him. And for the next 2 years, I saw my dad persecuted as he was following Christ and Christ's call on his life. And during that time, perhaps like no other time leading up to that, I saw my mom and my dad just enduring this together. They, by all means, I think that they probably should have just thrown it in and said, forget about this. This is too much. This is too difficult. This isn't what I signed up for. But they didn't do that. Instead, they got together with family and they prayed and they got together with people from church and they found people to support them and to love them through that time and to encourage them through that time. And they endured the suffering that was taking place in their lives. We will all find ourselves, I'm convinced of it, as we follow Jesus Christ, we'll all find ourselves in times of persecution where we have a choice to make. And that choice is will we endure it or will we just fold over and let it run us over, whatever's taking place. In this Beatitude, in verse 10, Jesus is telling us that persecution will come. And therefore, we must have an attitude of endurance. In the King James Version, it calls it long-suffering. In some other translations, it speaks of this quality of patience. Paul lists this attitude among the fruits of the Spirit. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, these characteristics that we as believers should have in our lives. What does it say? It says, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there are no law. Endurance, patience, long-suffering, whatever you want to call it this morning, it's important that as followers of Christ, we have this attitude. Especially in times of criticism and hardship. It's important to have this attitude at times of persecution in our lives. It's important to have this attitude at times where we feel like we're just being harassed maybe for our religious beliefs, for the stances that we take. If you are serious about following Christ, you will be persecuted. If you are serious but following Christ, you will be criticized. If you practice what the Bible teaches, you will be looked upon differently than those that don't. Now you can tell everybody sitting next to you, sure, I'm glad I'm here this morning. I'm feeling really good about things, right? So how do we handle these situations? You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again and again and again in the years to come. God is much more concerned with our character than He is with our comfort. God is much more concerned with Dustin's character, with your character, than He is about our comfort. That's not what He's here for. Look at what Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, it's going to be page 828. Remember in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is imprisoned because of his faith in Christ. And this is how he starts chapter 4 out in verse 1. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Folks, Jesus doesn't ponder whether we will be persecuted or not. He doesn't consider whether or not you will be criticized. He doesn't hassle over the fact that you will be harassed. If you are faithful to Him, He knows that you will. He says we must endure under the pressure of that. We must hold tight when the world seems like it's turning on us. In Matthew chapter 5, the verse that we're focusing on today, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When sticks and stones are tossed at you, we've got to learn to stick it out somehow. We need to endure. We need an attitude of endurance. And today, I want us to consider what I think are four kind of positive ways of handling these kind of rough situations when they come into our lives. So the first one is this. Recognize the source. Recognize the source. This is a really critically important one for us. Recognize the source. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, page 830. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to go to verse 12, where it says this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Folks, God and Satan are enemies. God is the enemy of the devil, and the devil does not want God to win this battle. And he will use any and every means to attack us, to attack God. Now, just think of it for a moment. If you were in desperate need, for whatever reason, if you were in desperate need of a lot of money and you made the horrible decision to go to a loan shark or a mob member and get that loan from them, right? And then you realize that you have no way of paying this money back to them. So instead of having them come and beat down on you, you decide just to disappear. You take the money that they gave you and you just head out and you disappear somewhere. Right? What are they going to do in that situation? They're going to go after your children. They're going to go after your spouse. They're going to go after everything that you care about, your friends, anything that matters to you. That's what they're going to go after because they know they can get to you through those means. Right? The same is true of Satan, who can't get to God. He'll attack God's children. He'll attack God's family. He'll attack the things that God cares about most. In Revelation 12:10, Satan is called the accuser of the brothers. He is at war with God. And if he can't get to God, he will attack God's family. When you are under attack, you need to realize who the attacker is, right? We have to recognize the source of the attack, and that is the evil one. Secondly, we need to refuse to retaliate, and this might be perhaps the hardest one that we're going to talk about today. In Romans chapter 12, and actually, let's go ahead and turn there together. In Romans 12, we're going to go to verse 17. And I want us to read it together out loud. I want this one to sink in a little bit more for us. So in Romans 12, we're going to read verse 17. And we'll go down through verse 19 together. So if you join in with me as I read, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. It's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. You know that the Bible, in the Bible, Jesus was accused of, he was accused of a lot of things. He was accused of being a drunk, a glutton. He always was facing accusations. You know what he always did? Was he refused to retaliate. He could have pointed out the sins of any of the people that made any accusations against him. He knew their sins. He knew their shortcomings. But he didn't. He left room for God. You know what that's called? It's called trust. It's called faith. He put his trust in God. He had faith that God would take care of the situation. When we are persecuted, when people treat us unfairly or mean because we follow Jesus, we need to believe that God is big enough to take care of it in his timing. We need to trust and to have faith That God is our protection, that He's our fortress, that He's our shield in life. That's why this verse says, leave room for God's wrath. He is big enough and we need to trust Him. We need to have enough faith in God so that we don't repay evil for evil. We need to have enough faith in God that we don't need to avenge ourselves. I need to trust Him. You need to trust Him. We need to put our trust in God so that whatever comes our way, we know that He will handle it. We need to refuse to retaliate. Say that with me. Refuse to retaliate. We need to leave it for God to take care of. The third step that I want us to consider this morning is we need to respond positively. This can be another difficult one. A moment ago, we read, I had you guys read out of Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19. If you just jump down two more verses to verse 21, it says this. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When evil attacks us, we are to respond with good. Is it normal for you to return good when somebody's attacking you? No. Absolutely not. Is it normal for you to bless somebody that's cursing you? No, it's not. It goes against everything in us. But that is what Scripture instructs us to do. To return good for evil. Let me say this. If you're always trying to get even, you'll never get ahead. You won't. When somebody starts teasing you, when somebody starts taunting you, and you retaliate against them, who's in control in that moment? You think you are? You're not. They are in control in that moment. They are pushing your buttons and they've gotten you to respond in a negative way and you've become their puppet now. They could be looking for a fight and you've just played right into their game. Here's what Jesus tells us to do. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Is it easy? No. Is it unusual? Yes. Is it what God wants to see us do? Absolutely. Is it what God expects us to do? Absolutely. Jesus said, don't react. Respond in love. When people put you down, we're to build them up somehow. When people hassle you, we're supposed to be nice to them somehow. Folks, in life, there are many things that you and I cannot control, but we can control how we respond to evil when it comes to us. Respond with something that's good is what this passage is telling us. Respond in love, and God will smile upon our lives. The fourth one I want us to consider is rest in God's protection. Here's that comforting piece this morning, right? In Psalm 37, it says, in Psalm 37, starting in verse 7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. It's an interesting fact that this psalm was written by David. And many of you would remember the story of David. He was persecuted, he was harassed. Do you remember what happened between King Saul and David? Let me back up just a little bit. So David, the story of David that many of us would remember from Sunday school classes, the children, right, is the story of David and Goliath, right? And that event, David killing this huge giant as a little child, that event, it impressed everyone. Everyone started to sing the praises of David because of that. Everyone except for Paul. Or Saul, I'm sorry. Saul, instead, he got jealous. He got envious. Evil thoughts entered Saul's mind. Evil thoughts entered Saul's heart. Saul started looking at David as the enemy as a result of it. And as time passed, the envy and the jealousy in Saul, it just continued to grow in him. In fact, it grew to the point where it became hatred towards David. Saul was so jealous of David that he threw a spear at David and he hoped that it would pin him to the wall, according to 1 Samuel chapter 18. David had to run. David had to hide. You talk about harassment, right? Or persecution. David knew persecution, but David knew that even through the harassment that he faced and the persecution he faced, Psalm 37:7, he said, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." He knew that he could wait on his God despite all that he went through. So let me ask you today, where are you today? Are you feeling like you're persecuted? Are you feeling like you're going through difficult times as a result of your faith in Jesus Christ? Or are you being harassed, for lack of better words? God knows it and God sees it. And He cares and He is concerned about how you handle it. God is more concerned about your character than He is about your comfort. He's concerned about how you and I choose to respond to these times in our lives. You see, God is, He's in the character building business. It's His desire to have followers of Christ that have character, that have values and morals, that can be a witness for His kingdom when we go through those times of persecution. That others will look at what you're going through, what you're facing, and say, there is something different about that person because of how they're responding to this. He wants you to overcome evil with good. So how do you deal with difficulties? When persecution comes, do you recognize the source? You recognize the source of it being a battle. When we go through persecution for our faith, it is a battle between good and evil. If you refuse to retaliate, you respond in a positive way, a way that would please God. Do you rest in the Lord and have faith in His protection over you? If you do, God smiles. We're honoring God with our response, with the way that we're living our lives. And if not, perhaps today is the day that you'll say, this is an attitude, a beatitude that I need to work on. This is one that I'm going to face starting tomorrow. Remember, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Lord God, I can certainly say that when persecution comes to us as Your children, we certainly don't feel blessed oftentimes. But Lord God, we know that You are into developing strong character within Your children. And we know for certainty that You protect us through times of persecution. We know, Lord God, that You use those times of persecution to advance your kingdom, to use us as a witness to the world that we're in. And we thank you, Lord God, that as we go through those times that you walk with us. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, to remember that when persecution comes into our lives as a result of our faith, help us to remember the significance and the importance as to how we respond to that. Lord God, we thank you for your word again this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to study it together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.